You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
I'm going to start by reading the Bible. You know, when we worship, we gaze into the face of Jesus. And when we sit under the Word of God, we also gaze into the face of Jesus. So as I read, I want us all to hear what Jesus is saying to us through this. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. This is our On Display series. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. How many know that we are a church that exists to display the supernatural God? Everybody say, on display. We're on display because we're hearing the inaudible, we're seeing the invisible, we're believing the incredible, and we're doing the what? You guys have been paying attention. That's good. That's really good. Guys, are we doing it? Is it happening yet? Be honest with me. Are we on a journey? Are we on a journey to doing these things? Yes, we are seeing it, and we are also on a journey, correct? Everybody's like, what's the right answer? I don't know what to say. Right, week one of our On Display series, we were looking at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Just to put it out there, that word witness means martyr. I don't know if you knew that. Sorry, going a bit hardcore right at the beginning. And in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 1 is where we see that it started with just 120 people in an upper room. And then it grew to 3,000 people. Oh, prophesy. It's all in the Bible. And then week two is where we see that people are getting saved every day and being added to the church. Who believes that that's the story of Audacious Chester? Come on. We're on a journey every day. So I'm going to read a big chunk of the Bible right now. I have said this in the last two services, but I will say it again. I tend to be theatrical at times. So it's a big chunk of the Bible, but would you like to hear it read in the voice of Chip Kendall? David Suchet is busy doing something else today. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him. Everybody say straight at him. As did John. Then Peter said, look at us. Everybody say, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, everybody say hand. He helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him. Everybody say, recognized. He's the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Jesus, we pray that this would be a church that demonstrates the difference, that we're not satisfied by living a private Christianity, but actually we're bold enough to live on display for our world to see. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have you guys ever discovered something that has been hidden in plain sight all along? Have you ever had that happen to you? Eden wanted me to tell this story. Minty is Eden's best friend. Minty's right down the front. Can we give Minty a round of applause? My daughter's 14 years old. We have pancakes every Saturday morning. It's just something that we do. Anybody else pancake lovers? You guys like pancakes? We do blueberries. We do raspberries. But you're not invited because it's just our family right now. Maybe one day you'll be invited. And so one morning, I get up early. It takes about an hour to make them. So I get up pretty early. And I went downstairs, start making pancakes. I get about half an hour in, and I glance over at the dining room. My daughter has been sat there for half an hour while I've been making pancakes. And I'm like, sweetie, how long have you been there? She's like, I've been here the whole time. I was like, I'm so sorry. I didn't see you. Has anybody ever discovered something hidden in plain sight? I had to apologize. I had to be like, oh man, I wish I would have seen you because we could have like chatted, we could have hung out, you could have helped me make pancakes, you know, and I missed the chance. I missed a really great trick. How many know that there are opportunities all around us every single day to live our lives on display? Did you know that? It just because you don't see it doesn't mean that it's not actually there, hidden in plain sight. And so I'm going to give you 3 points today. If I do more than three, you have permission to kick me off stage. We might have a little run around the room, but that's okay. And these are the three things. You ready? Everybody say open eyes, open heart, open hand. So first of all, open eyes. We're on display. How many have ever heard of a divine interruption? We have this happen all the time. So Peter and John, their divine interruption, or I guess the guy begging his divine interruption, was this moment he thought he was going to get some money. In the end, he got healed. And actually, Jesus had this happen loads of times as well. We find this in John chapter 5, verse 6. Jesus spots a crippled man at a pool, and he's on his way somewhere else, but he takes the time to stop and talk to him. We also find Paul spots somebody who's crippled when he's addressing the crowd as well. The point is we need to open our eyes to see where God is already at work so we can join him in that work. This is going to be a point you're going to hear a lot today. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 60, check this out, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Then it uses this three-letter word, see. Darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. I've found that people see different things. When you see Chester, or when you see your workplace, or when you see your family, or when you see your extended family, or when you see your nation, do you see darkness, or do you see light? That's my question for you. God wants us to have open eyes to see what's actually going on around us. I would argue that actually all it takes is a little bit of light to dispel a whole bunch of darkness. We'll come back to that in a little bit. So the question for you to think about while you're on your lunch break or you're in the office kitchen or you're at the gym, what conversations are presenting an opportunity for you to share Jesus? Who can you tell your story or experience to in order to bring hope and light to their life? That's why we need to live our lives with open eyes. John chapter 4, verse 35. This is Jesus saying this. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already ripe for harvest. Isn't that encouraging? So if you need that little bit of encouragement, we need to have open eyes like Jesus did so that we can bring life and light into our world. Everybody say open eyes and open heart. Okay, this is a good one. Peter said to the beggar, look at us. So not only did he see him, he asked the beggar to look back at him. Why was that? That's because the man needed to give his attention in order for him to have a heart connection. Anybody here a fan of Avatar? You ever seen the movie Avatar? Blue people, all that kind of stuff. The famous quote from that film is where she says, I see you. I see you. And what she really means is, I really see you. I feel you. I don't just see you, I feel you. And that's what it is to look at somebody with your heart. We live in a day and age where we have these screens. We have phones, we have tablets, we have distractions, we have filters. We can show people the world, the part of us that we want them to see and not show them the parts we don't want them to see. We have more and more of this happening, but all it's doing is it's making us more isolated. We're not able to have real genuine connection. We're not able to have that moment where we see not just them, but we see their heart and we have compassion for them. So that's what we're talking about here today. You know, there's this phrase about how the eyes are the window to the soul. I saw this guy do this experiment once, and he goes, I want to buy your eyes. How much would you be willing to sell me both your eyes? And the guy looks at him and is like, you're a crazy person. I'm never going to sell you my eyes, right? If anybody asks you, how much would you sell your eyes for? I mean, some of the young people are like, oh, I could get bionic eyes or something. Your eyes are very precious to you. And yet, if they're just the window to your soul, how much more valuable is your soul? That was for somebody here. I didn't do that in any of the other preaches, but I'm doing it here in this one. Your soul has value. Not only does your soul have value, the person next to you, their soul has value. When's the last time your soul spoke to their soul? When's the last time you went deep? When's the last time you had genuine compassion for what they're facing? Loneliness is what some people call the mark of our generation. There's a book called The Anxious Generation, but I believe it's just kind of the forerunner for what God sees as the best connected generation of all time. That's the way that I choose to see our church, Audacious Church. We're going to bring in a new day. A lot of us have developed something called compassion fatigue. Did you know that the word compassion in the Bible actually means like a sucker punch to your guts? It's like a, I feel it in my bowels. That's what it comes from. And I don't know how often you feel things that deeply. I'm a very emotional person, so I feel things quite deeply all the time. But maybe you don't. But maybe you do. But this is the way God wants us to have compassion for the world around us. But compassion fatigue can kick in. You know, we hear about what's happening in Nigeria. It's horrible what's happening in Nigeria. So many Christians that are being killed, and somebody needs to do something about it. We hear about what happened in Jamaica with the big hurricane. Somebody's got to do something about that. We hear about what's happening in Israel. I grew up in Israel, so it's really close to my heart. And there's all these different things that are going on around the world, and it's easy to develop compassion fatigue. Maybe you even heard on the way in, some horrible stuff kicked off last night in our country. And so how are we going to respond to that? What is our initial response? Do we still feel that sucker punch to the gut? The way that's going to help us to do that is if we open our eyes and we see the people around us. I had a moment where I was ready. I was ready to leave primary school's ministry behind. My kids are 17, 14, and 12. And I thought, well, since my youngest has now graduated into secondary school, maybe that's it. Maybe my opportunities are drying up for primary schools. And I began to pray, and I said, Lord, is it time for me to graduate too? And he said, I want you to think about this. You have 10,000 hours experience in primary schools. You are technically now an expert. Are you really just going to walk away from that? And I was like, oh, you got me, sucker punch. So then I was like, well, what can I do? And I had this idea, I'm going to write a book series. And I've written a whole Level Up book series, specifically written for 8 to 13-year-olds, although we did sell it to a 7-year-old in the last service. And this is all about values. This is very much values-based. Most of the schools that I get invited to go into to talk and to play games and to do stuff, they want me to talk about a specific value. So the books cover the values of potential, respect, confidence, and curiosity. And so this is the Level Up book series. We've got the first one here today called The Silent Spark, Level Up Your Potential. That's what I've done. That's the step that I've taken because of that sucker punch moment of compassion. So that leads us to our third point. I promise you there's only 3 points, right? Open eyes, open heart. What was the last one? Open hands. And that's why in our story, it was so important that we read that actually Peter and John took this man by the hand. When you're living on display, people don't just talk about things. They don't just pray about them. They don't just complain about them, but they actually do something about it. James chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. And my question for you is this: what do you already have in your hand that could be the answer to someone's prayer? You know, they said, silver or gold do we not have, we don't have, but what I do have, I give you. Some of us just stop at, I don't have any money, and that's it. No, no, no. Well, what do you have? There's this really great word study. You can do it. I haven't got time to go into it in detail, but consume, consummate. Consume means to devour or to destroy. Consummate means to bring. I was praying about this one time, and God said to me, never ask the question, how can people best use you? Ask the question, what do you want to bring to the table? That's a very long story that I just did very quickly, and I'm very proud of myself for that. Here's another thing that happened to me. I was in Israel. I grew up in Israel, as I said. I was visiting. This is a year after the October 7th attacks, and all the hostages were still there in Gaza. And I had the opportunity to go do some filming with Daystar TV in Hostage Square in Tel Aviv. This is a whole square, city square, dedicated to bringing back the hostages. It's where the families would go to mourn. It was where they would go to celebrate whenever they could see on the big screen, there's a hostage coming back. It was where songs were written. They had a piano out in the open that anybody could play. It belonged to one of the hostages. And above it are the words, you are not alone. And they said, anybody who plays this piano, you're playing on behalf of the hostages coming back. And so I'm there doing some filming, and I'm doing everything I can to remember what the Bible says. You know, comfort my people, says your God. And I'm encouraging Western Christians to give and to do something in order to help these guys that are struggling and mourning. And as I'm saying this to the camera, this guy is crying behind me. Like, not just crying, he's wailing. He's like singing his wailing, and it's really over the top. And like, I'm very theatrical, but I'm like, this guy has lost it. So we had to stop filming, wait for him to finish, and then I would go back to doing the report. And then there came a moment where they wanted to film me playing the piano. I play the piano, my dad taught me. My dad was there with me. And I sit down at the piano and I'm like, what do I play? And I had it. I'm gonna play the song that I was writing when October 7th happened. Some friends and I are writing a musical together about the life of Esther. And this is Mordecai's song. I don't know if you know the story of Esther. I haven't got time to go into it. But Mordecai is really frustrated with God in this part of the musical. This is where he's like, what did I do to deserve this? You could have chosen a better man. I play it cool on the surface, but there's so much I don't understand. Like, where did I go wrong? Whose story should I choose to believe? Is this all a game to you? Because right now, it feels like all I can do is breathe. Just breathe. And in the song, the Holy Spirit sings back to him, yeah, just breathe. As long as you're in existence, you're obeying my word. As long as you're in existence, the world knows that I keep my promises. Now, all this amazing moment happens. And as I'm playing, I'm not even singing, I'm just playing the song, crazy wailing man comes over and sits next to me. He's really cramping my style. I'm like, bro, he starts talking to me a mile a minute in Hebrew. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. I know I used to live here, but my Hebrew's terrible. And my dad came, dad to the rescue. Dad came and he pulled him away and he's like, it's okay, maybe you can talk to him afterwards. They're trying to film something, come sit over here. Anyway, I finished playing the song and the cameraman puts down his camera and he goes, do you know what he was saying in Hebrew? I said, nope. He said, he's saying that you've been in his dreams. He's saying that the melody that you're playing has also been in his dreams. Guys, I'll be really honest with you. And maybe you face moments like this as well. You it could go one way or the other. I did not want to talk to that guy. I thought he's crazy. He probably just wants to get on the camera or something. And then the Holy Spirit, sucker punch. He's like, you've just been talking about comforting my people. Mourn with those who mourn. The least you can do is go give him a hug and tell him Jesus loves him in Hebrew. He's very obedient. He's a good Christian. I went over to him. He's a big guy. He's younger than me, taller than me. I put my arms around him and he starts crying. Man, and I didn't even get to say Jesus loves you yet. He's just wailing again. And I push him away and I'm like, Yeshua ohev otcha, Jesus loves you. And he starts crying again. He puts his arms around me. He's like, yes, 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 yes. I knew it. I knew it. I knew Jesus, 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 Jesus. He goes, you are Jesus. And I push him away. And I'm, oh, dear. Thankfully, there wasn't one of those. I pushed him away. I said, no. Yeshua Ohevotcha. He hugs me again. He starts telling me about how when he was a little boy, he heard his mom call his dad the devil. And he didn't want anything to do with God. But he said, now I know God loves me. And I'm like, I take him by the hand, like in the Bible story. I said, are you ready to invite Yeshua to come live inside you? He said, yes, I'm ready. He goes, I thought you were him. I said, I'm not him. And I prayed the sinner's prayer with him right there in Hostage Square. English isn't even his first language, but he understood enough. And we finished, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus the Messiah. Can you imagine if I stood up from that piano and was like, boy, am I glad that's over. I'm never talking to that guy ever again in my life. No. Can I propose to you that there is a whole city out here of hurting people that need healing, of hungry people that need Jesus? Guys, this is why we want to live our lives on display. I don't know how many of you would identify as being someone who's, you know, happy to wear your heart on your sleeve and you're an extrovert like me. Or how many of you would choose to say, well, I'm more private about these things. You know, it's legit, like Theresa May, Prime Minister, she was interviewed about her Christianity. She said, well, I choose to remain private about these things. She says, I don't want to flaunt them in public. I don't want people to think that I flaunt my Christianity, but I do want them to see clearly that I live my faith on display. I am not hiding. I've signed up whole hog. I'm ready to be a martyr. I'm ready to be a witness. And that's what we're talking about here at Audacious. This isn't a cultural thing. This is a biblical thing. So we want to invite everybody to make that decision, to have open eyes, open heart, open hands.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.